Mission Hills family, how we doing? So good to see you. Want to welcome all of you who are watching online in our online community. We love you. Want to welcome all of our campuses who are joining us. Shout out to Old Town Campus, Pastor Dwayne. Want to say hi to Pastor Brandon in the Tulare Street Campus. Want to say hi up in Novato, Pastor Kevin and that crew. Love you guys. And then our newest campus is on board watching this morning in Selma. Our family, love you guys. Pastor Brad, I was hanging out with you guys last week. Love seeing you there last week, and it is good. And of course, welcome to our North Campus here, right here. So good to see you guys. It was just Thanksgiving, and all of us, I don't know about you, this for sure, this is the truth right here. I woke up this morning in a little bit of a fog. Like, I woke up, I was driving to church, I was like, I gotta get out of this fog. Like, I'm supposed to speak this morning, and I'm like yawning, and I have this fog, and it was just too much food, you know? How about you guys? How'd you do today? Did tip the scales a little bit? It was all right. It's my favorite part of Thanksgiving is the food, of course. I just got to rip the Band-Aid off. I got to say something that may insult some of you, but probably this is going to be a freeing statement for a lot of you. Some insulted, but for most freeing. I hate turkey. I hate it. Can we just like get past, like, I know you're like, blasphemy. I get it, man. So I smoked up a couple of tri-tips for our Thanksgiving. It was delicious. Yeah, you know, those traditions. It's awesome. So that's what I did for Thanksgiving, and I had too much of that stuff. So too much good stuff. Anyway. We are starting a new series this morning. It's going to be over the next 4 weeks. We're doing Advent together. Now, Advent is one of those things that, those traditional things you see churches doing. I don't know if the Hills here has ever done Advent before, to be honest with you, but we're going to preach through Advent. And Advent is one of those words, it's one of the churchy words, and yet it has so much meaning. In fact, I know I'm getting out of order on my slides here, but if you put up the definition of Advent here, Advent means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event, or a coming of something. And so that's what we are going to celebrate over the next 4 weeks. We're going to celebrate in the Christmas spirit, the fact that Jesus came and moved into our neighborhood, came and stepped into our story as a human race, and became flesh and dwelt among us, and came, lived a life, perfect life, died on a cross for our sins, rose from the dead, and now you and I are able to have relationship with God through Christ Jesus, and that is something to celebrate. And so we are going to celebrate Advent over the next 4 weeks. And this week, we celebrate week one with hope. Now, I have to tell you something, a little bit about me and what's been going on in a journey in my life over the last year and a half. And that is, I have become an avid pickleball player. Any pickleball players in the house? Come on. There's like a few. Yeah, okay. There's a few of us. The rest are like, you know, I know you real athletes are like, pickleball, come on, man. But hey, look at me. I'm not saying that I'm an athlete, right? Right here, you can tell. But I love pickleball. I enjoy it. We were playing it so much. Me and my wife are able to play it together. In fact, there's a couple from Clovis Hills that taught us how to play pickleball a year and a half ago. So almost every week for a year and a half, I've been playing pickleball, me and my wife. Now, here's the deal. The only reason I'm telling you all of this is because for a year and a half, we have been playing pickleball, and the couple that we play with, they were in the 9 o'clock service, so I can't make fun of them during this service, but they have beat us almost every single time we have played. In fact, over a year and a half, me and my wife have won a total of 5 games against this couple. That's it. A year and a half, we won 5. I'm not talking about like match. I'm just talking about single games. Me and my wife have won 5 times. So this morning, the first week of Advent is on hope, because that's all I got at pickleball is hope that one day me and my wife are going to win again this pickleball game. Yesterday morning, I tell you the truth, yesterday morning, me and my wife took them to the brink. We almost won. You go to 11 in pickleball, and you have to win by 2. They beat us 16-14. We were right there, man, right on their tail. So we're getting close. but there's hope that one day we're going to be better pickleball players. So this morning, I do want to talk to you about this idea of hope and the Christian faith. In fact, the title of my message is something that I believe hope is right in the middle of. The title of my message is Between the Already and Not Yet. Between the Already and Not Yet. Let me explain this, why, what my thinking is behind this. Christmas is coming. If you have a tradition like we have, we wrap Christmas gifts before and we place them under the tree. And what happens? The kids come and look at those presents and they're wrapped. So they're already wrapped, but you can't yet open them. They're stuck between the already and the not yet. And it drives them crazy. Like, it drove me crazy as a kid. And I'm like, I'm passing that tradition on. And so they're stuck. They're looking. They so badly want to open it, but it's not Christmas yet. And I don't know what your tradition is, whether you open Christmas gifts on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but they're going to wait to open up that gift. I have to tell you, this tradition in my family is amazing. I married a woman who's from Michoacan, Mexico, and she had a tradition of a beautiful Christmas tradition. At midnight, we all eat a lot of food, including pozole, and then we open up gifts, and then we just sleep all Christmas morning. That is an awesome tradition. I'm sticking with that one. I am gringo, man, but that is like beautiful. I love that tradition. So my kids are going to have to wait till after midnight to open some Christmas gifts. And they are stuck between the already and not yet. And so followers of Christ, we're in the same situation. We've already experienced the goodness of the cross. We've already experienced the healing grace and mercy of which Christ came and died on the cross and rose from the dead. And we can experience that right now in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and many of us have. And God's grace is good. Amen? Amen. But yet, we're stuck in this world where just because we have a relationship with God and we're forgiven and made whole, we are still stuck in a world that has pain. We're still stuck in a world that is confusing at times, seems out of control. There's still things that happen to us. Bad things still happen to us. We're not, you know, removed from that because of our relationship with Christ. All that to say that we are stuck from the already and the not yet. We've already experienced the goodness of the cross, but we have yet to experience the return of our King, where he's going to come and make everything right. Are you following me? And there is going to come a day, make no mistake about it. If you are a follower of Christ, you place your hope not only in the King that was born, but the King that is going to come and make everything right. And so we're in the, you know, already, but yet not yet. And that's exactly where our hope is foundational. We're hoping, we've experienced the hope, and yet we're hoping that Christ comes quickly. Maranatha. And if I was to be honest with you today and to tell you what my real thoughts are, I don't know about you, but there's times that this world just is so cruel and you experience things so hurtful and painful. It's tough to live in that pain that you're just like, Lord, where are you? Maranatha, Lord, come quickly because I'm tired of this place. And yet I still struggle between that and I have so many friends who don't know Christ that I don't want you to come because I want them to come to Christ. I want them to know your forgiveness. I want them to know your grace. I want them to know how beautiful you are. And so I'm stuck in this whole middle of it. And for the most part, I'm like, Lord, I so badly want you to come and make things right. This world has gone off, you know, its rocker. It's so insane, and it's such a cruel place, and yet we see beauty and moments of beauty, and yet we place our hope in a King that says, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to establish my kingdom here on earth and heaven. It's going to be a new earth and a new heaven, and he's going to make everything right. Don't you long for that day? Amen. And so our hope is we've experienced, but we haven't experienced all of it yet, and there's so much more to come. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about that kind of hope, that's in us. So if you have your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, however you access the Word of God, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 18. And as you do so, in honor of God's Word, will you please stand and join me? As we're waiting for you to turn, just want to remind you, you can download that Clovis Hills app, follow along with all the notes and things like that. But for right now, we're going to follow along. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, and this is God's word. It says this, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins.' All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." This is God's word. You may be seated. Joseph was stuck in the not yet. I mean, I haven't experienced yet and the not yet. He was stuck right in that middle ground. You see, he was betrothed. That's a fancy word for Christmas. He was betrothed to Mary. It was more of what we know to be an engagement. Like, you know, when you fall in love with that person, you ask them to marry you, and there's that engagement period, and everything's butterflies and rainbows and Skittles and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know what Skittles has to do with that. I'm all of a sudden, I want some Skittles. Back in that day, a betrothed was more of a bigger deal. It was more, not even contractual, it was an oath that was given. And it was an oath that was not only given just between two people, but it was like a family thing. That's why in the scripture it says before they were married, he was going to quietly divorce her. Because it was already an oath that was given between the families and the two that they were to get married. And so he had experienced this idea of love. He had found the one. The families had come together, brought them together, and they were about to get married, and they were in that betrothal period in which there was no backing out. This is it. This was what was going to happen when all of a sudden Mary showed up pregnant. And guys, you can only imagine the woman you love, and you're waiting. The Bible says that he was a righteous man, that he was a man after the law, and he knew that he had to wait to you know. Did you see me quickly scan the room to see if there were kids here? On what word I could use, you know. And anyway, to consummate the marriage, and he was stuck because he loved this woman, but yet he never got to get to the point of the marriage. And as a guy, I'm just like, whoa, time out. Wait a minute. I don't know if you could possibly come up with an explanation for this. And then all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord came and explained to him. And then he had an option, didn't he? He could have said, okay, I understand what you're telling me, but I'm out of here. Because the public humiliation is going to be so great. What people are going to be saying about me and Mary is going to be so overwhelming. I'm telling you, the stress level is off the charts. There's no way I could go through with this. Good luck. I'm out of here. And who would have blamed him? Or the decision was to believe the angel, to believe that God had another plan for their lives, and that God was going to do something great through him and Mary. And they were going to give birth to a son who was going to come and save the world of its sins. And he chose to believe in God. He chose to put his faith in God. So if you're taking notes this morning, here's one of the things, the first thing I want you to write down. Here it is. Point number one is this. We as believers ought to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but anticipate the return of Jesus. We should celebrate the birth of Jesus, but we know that the return is coming. And I tell you that because so many times we lose hope as believers. Yeah, Christ is in my life. Yeah, I've become a new creation, as the Bible says. I walk with the living God. And yet sometimes life gets so overwhelming and things happen. I was just talking to a couple right after the first service. They came up to me and said, Pastor, thank you for the message. Because a few weeks ago, we lost our granddaughter to suicide. And these holidays are absolutely horrible. Almost paralyzing. And our family got together and there was nothing to celebrate. But thank you for the reminder that even though God lives in me, we can still hope that there is a coming King who's going to make everything right. So we as believers, we celebrate the fact that Jesus entered into our story. But we do not forget the hope that lies within us. The writer of Hebrews says this, that hope is like an anchor for our soul that we can cling to in difficult times. And it's that hope, not only that he's already come and made right our sins so that we can have a relationship with God, but that one day he is coming back and he's going to make everything right. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more Republicans or Democrats, just the reign of our King. And that gives us hope. So live in that hope. You see, it hasn't happened yet, and we're waiting for it to happen in the future. Look what Lewis Smedes said. Lewis Smedes was a famous theologian. He taught many years down at Fuller Theological Seminary, and I read that he was the expert on waiting. I don't know how you become the expert on waiting. I think you and I might be able to give him a run for his money on becoming an expert on waiting. But look what he says. He wrote a book on waiting and hope. And this is what he says here. It's a fascinating quote. He says this. He says, waiting is our destiny. As creatures who cannot by themselves bring about what they hope for, we wait in the darkness for a flame we cannot light. We wait in fear for a happy ending that we cannot write. We wait for a not yet that feels like a not ever. How many of you ever been there? Waiting is the hardest work of hope. And yet, you and I as followers of Christ are waiting with hope that God is going to make everything right. And so it's in that hope, in this Advent season, that we place our trust in Christ and Christ alone. Knowing that whatever circumstances we might be dealing with here, as hard as it is, as Lewis Smedes says, we don't have much control. We can't write the end of our story. That's already been written. And those of you who have put your faith in Christ, the story is simple, that you will rise with Christ on the last day. You will be with him for eternity, and he will come and establish his kingdom here on earth and in heaven. Period, exclamation point. That is the end, and that is encouraging. And that's where we put our hope. So number one, we need to celebrate the birth of Jesus and anticipate the return of Jesus as we're dealing with this idea of hope. The second thing I want to talk about this morning is this, as we deal with the Advent season and we're talking about hope, and we're anticipating the return of Christ. As we are waiting, I want to suggest one thing. As we are waiting and we're dealing with circumstances, would you be open to, what's my number two point is this, being willing to change your plans as we hope for the return of Christ? You see, so many times we put these plans in motion and we think we got it all figured out from birth to death. If I could just grow up, get educated, find that right somebody, marry them, pop out a few right somebodies. Not me, my wife, because I can't physically do that. Anyway. get the right job, get the right house, drive the right cars, meet the right friends, make sure my kids have the right friends, save up for retirement, have a wonderful retirement, and then go home to glory. That's our perfect plan. But you know and I know it doesn't happen that way, does it? You and I know in between there's a lot of hiccups, a lot of commas, a lot of uh-ohs and oopses and all kinds of things. And we find ourselves in messes and it just life is messy. And so we could plan all we want, but the question that I have this morning is we are waiting in anticipation and hope for the coming Christ because we've already experienced the goodness of Christ. Would you be willing to allow God to change your plans as you wait in hope for the coming Messiah? And this is a big one. This is an interesting one because sometimes you're just like, man, shut it all down. I just need Jesus to come. And yet, he tells us that he wishes all should come to repentance, that he is patiently, the Bible says, he is patiently waiting for his return. He hasn't forgot about us. He's patiently waiting so that everybody could hear the gospel, the good news, the love of Christ, in which to him I say thank you, because I'm so glad he didn't come 30 years prior, because that's when I came to Christ 30 years ago. So we hope, and as we hope, we're still the church, and we got to live out God's great commission on this earth, and are we willing to be open and be vessels for Christ as we're waiting in hope? Look what Matthew chapter 1, this is what Joseph had to wait through. This is exactly what Joseph's doing. It says this. He says, as he considered this, the news that he just got about Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to make Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save the people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. God threw him a curveball. He changed his plans. Joseph's like, man, me and Mary, we're conquering the world. My brand new bride, this is going to be awesome. And then Jesus said, hold on, a little interruption. The Holy Spirit just impregnated your wife, and you're going to give birth to a Savior. I'd be like, what? If that was me, I'd be like, where's the cameras? Come on. But life throws curveballs. And the question is, what are we going to do with those curveballs when they throw curveballs? And sometimes those curveballs are incredibly painful. Let's be real. But are we open to be using by God and changing our plans to accommodate what God is trying to accomplish through us and his church? I tell you, life just threw me a curveball. A few months ago, life threw me a curveball. So me and my beautiful wife, Elvie, are at that stage in life that every parent dreams of. Like there's stages in life as parents, you like, they're like things to like celebrate, right? Like you know what I'm talking about if you have kids. Like the moment your kids are out of diapers, celebration! No more buying diapers, right? Like that's a party. Kids like first day at school, celebration. They're watching them now. You're good. Like, you could go catch a daytime movie even, whatever, man. Like, you know, that's right. Me and my wife are at the stage in life where my two children are old enough to watch themselves, and me and my wife could go out without getting a babysitter. Celebration! Man, me and my wife are feeling so good about that. In fact, just a few, like, maybe like 8 months ago, we were telling another couple, I can't wait to get to this stage because this stage is good. Like they're out with their friends. We could tell them we're leaving and we don't have to worry about, this is awesome, this is good, it's freeing, stage of life. And then God throws me a curveball. And here's the curveball. About 4 months ago, my wife's niece died in a car crash. She was 30 years old. And she had a 9-year-old son named Jesus, and everybody calls him Chewy. And Chewie never knew his dad. And his mom just died in a car crash. And grandma just is just not in a place to take care of my wife's sister. And so I knew the moment that we heard the news of my niece passing away in a car crash, I was actually ready to start a staff meeting here when my wife called me. And I just knew something was going to happen with Chewie. And me and my wife talked about it. You see, I don't know if you know, some of you may know or may not know the rest of my story, but many, many years ago, I had another nephew named Eddie who lost his mom and a dad in 1 year. Mom died, my wife's sister died of cancer, and his dad died in a car crash in the same year. And my wife's like, we're going to take Eddie into our house and we're going to raise him. And I'm like, man, I got your back. Let's do this. Eddie just graduated from college, and he's a nurse now at St. Agnes. Yeah, it's cool. Believe me, it's nothing on me. My wife and God did all of that. But he just got out of the house. Curveball! Chewie! And while we had that brief moment of freedom, my wife calls me while I'm in Africa. I was in Africa a month ago. My wife calls me and says, hey, babe, how you doing? Is everything good there? She set me up, right? You guys know those phone calls. And I said, what's up? What's going on? She goes, hey, when you get home, there's going to be something for you. And I'm like, ooh, all right. I'm so out of control. I am so sorry, campuses. I'm so out of control, my gosh. She said, no. She said, our nephew's going to be here. Chewie's going to be with us, and he's going to come live with us. So when I got home, curveball, Chewie's here. He's a fourth grader. We're back at Mickey Cox. We're living the dream. But it's good. You know why? Because God said, hey, I'm going to interrupt your life. And in the middle of you hoping for my return, I'm going to give a kid who has no hope some hope. And I'm going to use you. You know why? Because you're one of my followers. And this is what we do. We give the world hope. Now, Chewie wasn't raised in the first 9 years of his life. He wasn't raised in the best circumstances. And he came to live with us, and no one ever told him about Jesus. In fact, the first time we came to church, I was like, hey, so your name's Jesus. They're going to sing songs about Jesus. I just want you to know that's not you. No, like literally. Like, he had no concept of church. I'm not trying to make fun of him. I'm just literally like he'd never been in church before, and he's never known about God or Jesus or anything. And so you know, let's stick with Chewie. Let's stick with Chewie. He wanted to stick with Chewie. And man, if he didn't come to church and he loved it, can I just tell you, church, we have the best children's department anywhere, anywhere. I'll put up our children's department against anybody's. And my little nephew, Chewie, went into the pier. And he had such a great time. He came back out. He says, Theo, when can we go back to church? I said, man, not till Sunday. Sunday? We can't go tomorrow? I'll call him up and ask. I have some weight around this place. Oh. I said, no, Sunday. And he came Sunday. And then he came Wednesday. And the following Wednesday, we're driving home from church. It was just me and him in the car. And all of a sudden, I look over at Chewie, and he's doing this. And I said, Chewie, what are you doing? He said, my teacher, Jeff Merrill, he always sits down here at 9 o'clock, big beard. I call him the bearded wonder. He's an amazing man. He said, teacher Jeff told me that we should pray for our friends, and I made some friends tonight, and so I'm praying for them. I said, that's pretty good, Chewie. Keep praying for your friends. And just throughout the week, he would ask me questions, and we would talk to him about God. And 2 weeks later, on a Wednesday night, there was a young man giving his testimony, and at the end of his testimony, he asked anybody, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to stand up right now. And look what happened. That's my nephew standing up. Yeah. Alpha, Chewy. Are we open while anticipating the Lord coming? Are we open to being His church and using our pain and using our gifts and using everything that life throws at us and mixing it up in a big bowl and just say, whatever comes out of it, Lord, I'm just willing to give to you because I know my hope is secure in you. And until you come, throw the curveballs at me because I'm your follower and I'm going to do because you've changed my life. I want to serve you to accommodate whatever you want to do on this earth. So as we wait in anticipation, I'm just saying, we'd be willing to change plans. Number three, not only do we celebrate the birth of Jesus and anticipate the return of Jesus, and we're willing to change plans in the midst of that as we hope for Christ's return. Number three, it's simple. Just put your hope in Jesus. Just put your hope in Jesus. Look what Matthew chapter 1 says. 22 and 23, this is the story we've read, but look at this part right here. It says this, all of this occurred, all of that occurred. The fears that Joseph was facing, the denial that Joseph, all the emotions that must have come with what Joseph was facing, all of that occurred. That's what it's saying. All of that occurred. The pain, the anger, the disappointment, all of it occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through a prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give him birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph had to make that decision to put his hope in Jesus, even in the midst of not understanding the full significance of that. Even though the angel just told him, he was still caught in the middle. He was caught in between the already and the not yet. He had no idea, even though the angel told him, look at it, let's be real. If the angel came and told me, your wife's going to give birth to the Savior, what does that mean? That's an overwhelming thought. Like, how does that play out? That must have been so overwhelming. And yet, he was caught in the in-between and not yet, and he had to put his faith right there. He had to put his faith in Jesus. Ushered in the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who has forgiven your sins and mine. And so my third point is simple. Put your faith in Jesus. Now the real discussion is this, that you and I, as human beings, we put our trust and faith in something. We just do. Sometimes we put our faith and trust in other people. Sometimes we put it in politics, politicians. Sometimes we put it into whatever we believe might be the next thing that is going to, whatever. I'm asking you today to put your faith solely in Jesus Christ. I put my faith in Jesus Christ 30 years ago. Have I suffered? Have I hurt? Has life gone according to plan? No, absolutely not. But I will tell you this, that every time I've been going through something, my Lord and Savior has been with me. And my hope has always been right in the in-between and not yet, anticipating His return. And I would never go back, ever. Jesus has changed my life. He has made life worth living. And put your hope solely in Jesus Christ. The first time Jesus came, he came as a lamb, and he's going to come back as a lion. The first time he came, it was a silent night. When he comes back again, he's going to come back with a roar. The first time he came, he came as the Prince of Peace. And now he's coming back as a risen Savior to establish his kingdom here on earth. It's not going to be the same, church. His return is not going to be the same. And I ask you to put your hope in the risen Savior who's going to come back and establish his kingdom here on earth. If you're here today, you're finding it difficult to trust, to put your faith in anybody, let alone Jesus, I just want you to know one thing. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. And there is nothing you could do to separate yourself from the love of God. That's what Romans says. Romans says there's nothing you could do for God to stop loving you. And that's the passionate love of our Savior that drove him to the cross. And he did not abandon us. And out of that love, he will return again. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father.